2:30, and we've got quite a bit to do today, and we have another meeting at 2:30, so I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order, the finance meeting of October 24th, 2017. Currently present are Council President Nagel, Council Persons Kilpatrick, Sheldon, Bell, Cartier, Weiner, Dillard, and Smiley. I pulled a blank. My heavy breathing started. We do have an established quorum. Can I get a motion on the minutes of October 10th?
So moved.
Second.
Motion approved. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Minutes have been approved. First on the agenda is ours, resolution number 17-209, my sponsorship, authorizing the county executive to execute a financing agreement with the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, acting by and through the Delaware Department of Natural Resources, Environmental Control, in an amount not to exceed $10 million to fund Christiana Forest Main emergency repairs, providing for the purchase of the bond and authorizing the execution of various documents in connection therewith. We had a brief discussion on this before. This is the funding mechanism that has been out there. The county's never taken advantage of it. We're now looking to take advantage of it. And this, we're looking at a 2% rate still?
Yes.
A 2% lending rate. So, any, Councilman Cartier?
Yes, just to recap where we're going to get this bond funding from with this low rate.
It is under the Clean Water State Revolving Fund. So as long as it has to do with... Okay, any other questions? Any members of the public? Hearing none. Next, ordinance 17-097, authorizing the issuance of $10 million in general obligation bonds of Newcastle County for the Department of Special Services, Christiana River Forest Main Capital Project. This is the enacting legislation to authorize the bonding to go for the sell for the 2%. Any questions? And this is a 10 vote, correct, yes, sir? Just to make sure we're all on the same page. Any questions, any members of council? Anything from the public? Okay. Hearing none, ordinance 17-070 will remain on the table at this time. Okay, next on the agenda is a presentation on the separation of councils, systems, discussion part three, administrative services. Mr. Hernicke.
Mr. Hernicke, I have your information. Would you like, do you have an updated or do you want me to pass
it out? It is the same one. I brought extras.
Fabulous. Okay. I'll just
thank
pass
you. Good afternoon, everybody. Somebody else want a copy? Over right here.
Okay. You have the floor. Just identify yourself and roll with it.
I'll wait till everybody has a copy. Mike Hernicke, General Manager, Office of Administrative Services. We provide procurement services and information technology. Thanks for the opportunity to walk through what my department provides County Council. And I'm just going to use this as a talking sheet. And if you have any questions on any specific one as I go through, please don't hesitate to ask. And I will gladly clarify.
I do want to put on the record that I don't believe it's here that Councilman Hollins is in the room with us. All yours.
Very good. So under the procurement and central services, the county council has the opportunity to leverage all the bids and that we put out for goods and services for Newcastle County. This is a service that all departments leverage. And we always look at our bids compared to state bids, compared to national bids, U.S. communities, NASPO, which is the National Association of State Procurement Offices, and the state contract. So every bid that we do today is evaluated, and we do a comparison to see what is the best price. You know, so, and my procurement officers sign off, they show me the analysis, and then that's when we reauthorize the bid, or we decide to go back out to bid. So that's our contracting for services. Processing, we do the procurement processing for, you know, county council. When asked, we will create the purchase order recs, we'll process them through the systems, and also make any modification to any PO that goes through. Bidding. If you should have the need for any particular unique bid, we will work with you to identify the, develop the bid specifications. We'll put it out to competitive bid and manage the entire process from end to end. Mailroom services. We have a fully staffed mailroom that provides services to all county offices. We make routine pickups. We do the mail processing from putting on the bulk rates, delivering to the post office, and managing the mailroom services and in-county mail options as well. Print shop. We have a staff print shop that is there for your use. You also have your copiers here on the floor. And should you have larger jobs that require special binding or additional, you know, print services, we have that team available. And this year, we're doing taking a hard look at our rates to make sure they are our actual costs, and some of our rates have actually gone down, and seeing how we compare to what's available in the open market. And copier services, you know, we do manage the copiers across the county, and we do that for you as well. We are looking to expand a broader service this year, more of an enterprise copier management, that allow us to better leverage the copiers in the county versus using personal printers on everybody's desk. Because the toner and ink that we use today is much more expensive when the toner and the ink is actually included with each of our leases. So we can print, you know, every copier can be used to print larger jobs, and there's no additional supply cost to keep the copiers running or maintenance. It's all included in our lease agreements. That is the Office of Procurement and Central Services. Any questions? No? Continue? Thank you. Information services, the technology department. You know, we provide the information systems centralized support for all county services and operations. You know, for a cross charge, we do cross charge back to county council at this time based on the FY18 target of $131,000, and that's our services that I'm going to go through, and that is a total cost of our services and operation. The email hosting and support, you know, we do run the email services for the county. That is something that is backed up, it's stored, and we provide the support to make sure they are archived and are available. Now, this down the road, when we move to the cloud or recommend movement to another cloud solution, you know, this is an opportunity should council decide they wish to have their own email or their own support. You can easily separate much easier at that time of transition to the cloud. That'll be your decision, and you know, we could help, you know, identify what services you would need to manage that or have someone manage that for you. But that is something that we can accomplish. File storage and file support. So currently today, everyone on the county network has an area to store their data. It should be stored on the network, so it's backed up and recoverable. You know, that is the services that we provide on our central servers. When you go to the cloud, that will be included in the cloud services with email. If you go to Microsoft or Google, they provide that same file services storage area. Actually, it's cheaper, you know, when you look at the end user availability of storage when we get to the cloud. Internet services. We share, the county has two internet connections to the internet. You know, they come through the network, which is all in the rooms and the closets and the wires. You know, that is a shared connection, and you know, county council goes through the same connection as all the other departments. Those sections, as I spoke of in my last briefing, are being upgraded today. Network infrastructure, that's all the hardware in the closets that connect all your computers to the internet and allow us to share resources across the network. That's part of the technology infrastructure is being upgraded with our current network upgrade project. Wireless infrastructure, some locations have available Newcastle County wireless network access. It's not as good as it should be, and it is part of our upgrade plans that are being redesigned, and that'll be part of the upgrade project that's ongoing. Telephone and support. You've all used our county phone system. We've all had the pleasure of some of the problems with the phone systems. So that is also being upgraded as part of the network redesign. And again, the network and phone system redesign is about 6 to 9 months out from now to implementation. Security and desktop for internal wireless. You know, we provide the security products. We're looking to enhance the security products to improve our security. You know, the area of malware or malicious software coming in, phishing attacks being emails targeting our systems. We are putting additional features in to better protect that. We do that for the county and all endpoints. Remote access, if you need to get remote access to county systems, we have tools and systems in place to grant you access to email, even as online access to get to our requisition systems or internal systems through remote access. Verizon wireless support. My team currently acts as the point of contact for ordering all Verizon wireless products and support. and we assist any user with setup of an iPad or a smartphone or a connection back to Newcastle County. GIS, mapping, geographical information systems. We provide a central team that if you should need a map to know something about your district or something with the county's usage or land use, we have a full team that produces the maps for the county and acts as a central support for all departments. Records management, we love the paper. We have paper everywhere. So we provide the centralized records management on-site and off-site depending on the nature of the materials, and we work with the State Department of Archives to make sure we properly archive based on recommended guidelines. Help desk, should you have a problem, it's my team that answers the call. We provide services to all county operations, including county council. You know, we are not fully staffed 724. This is one area that I'm looking to improve to ensure we have someone that will answer the call versus just leaving a voicemail and we'll call you back. So I'm trying to improve that area at the level of service. We do and provide hardware support and desktop for your desktops, or iPads should you have any problems there. Software that we use across the county, central software, our PeopleSoft HR benefit system, our financial system called TIER, Microsoft Office products, and remote access applications. And finally, our website hosting. We do utilize Civic Plus, which is one of the leaders in government website hosting, and that is the website process that we host for county council as well. And you have the authority to update that ongoing. Questions? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Mr. Hunicky, I think that we have had discussions about separation of services, but your comment that at a point when Newcastle County moves to cloud-based services, that would make sense for if we were interested to go our own way. Could you explain, about when you think that would be a possibility, and two, once we're in a cloud-based system, what does that mean I assume right now we're talking about physical servers here. What does that mean when the entire county moves to a cloud-based system?
Okay, so what we're talking about today, your email, your storage, your files are stored on a server. Server is a large computer that's in our data center, right. And it's in our redundant data center and in another building. So that is where your data lives today. In the future, if we should choose to go to Microsoft in the cloud or Google in the cloud, right. Your email would now be managed by either Microsoft or Google.
Okay.
At that point, when we go through the migration of transferring all the email that we're moving from the county system today to our cloud provider, that is an opportune time that if you wish to separate and have a dedicated email system that is the legislative branch, that is the optimal time to do that. Okay. It is very possible. Saying that, you will need to provide the right technical or contract with a vendor to be your person who configures that.
Right.
Because they will manage your email, they will have managing your file storage, which is all your network data, where your data lives, and they would be the provider that can help you should you have a problem with restoring. The council would have access to an e-records system that would easily go through and be able to, for FOIA requests, easily search the legislative branch emails and only the legislative branch emails if you are separated out. Now, you're probably most likely would end up in a possible hybrid scenario, which means your data and email would live in the cloud, but you may still choose to use the network and the internet connections that the county has in place. Otherwise, you'd have to recreate everything that we do for every department, the wiring, the network, the internet. You'd have to recreate that, or you could choose to use what we provide and make it all. If your computer can get to the internet, that's all my team would need to know.
Okay.
And if you had a problem with your email, you'd have to call your provider. You know, it would be some clear delineation we have to work through. But it is possible that you could have your own email and still utilize our network and our shared internet connection to get to your cloud.
Okay. I think one of the concerns that people have expressed is that particularly those folks who are legislative aides here, use some of the county software programs to do their jobs. Would this be able, would we be able to continue this if we developed a separate email system, but we're still going through the network, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's just a question people have.
So
raised.
If I may clear, so if you can I or can you still utilize the HR PeopleSoft product?
Exactly, exactly.
And have
or
a separate email? The answer is yes.
Okay.
We'd have to do some configuration work, and we have to work to try to get there. You know, because your email is just going to be going to the web browser. If you go to Internet Explorer or Chrome or whatever you choose, you'll click on a link and that'll take you to your email.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to have a credential that logs you and that gives you access to Newcastle County's network. And that says you are who you are, and yes, you are authorized to come on the county network. And we can still give you access to the county systems if you choose to stay on the HR systems or financial system. You know, that can be done.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. And I think this is similar to what you were asking, but we, our aides, if we're going to a meeting, will go and pull in reports, like property maintenance, things like mm-hmm. that. Is that still, would that still be possible?
Yes.
Okay, the, all right, this would take it and we would have a separate email system, but would have the ability to work in, not as an outsider, like in mapping, in parcel view. You know, mm-hmm. from home, I can't pull it up in alphabetical order to find an owner, but from the office, you can pull it up in alphabetical order and figure out where somebody lives.
Yes.
Those things would still be available even if we changed our email system.
Yes, we have to set up some rules that allow your, because right now the way it works is your access to those systems is going to be based on your network sign-on. So you'd actually have an alias on our network that would grant you access onto our network.
Mm-hmm.
When it came time to go to the email, you'd have to go into your web browser of choice and go to another website and key in your other credentials.
That would basically be a separate login then?
Correct.
Okay.
You'd actually have to have another login.
Right. Okay.
So you would have to have. So we would keep you, you know, within our network with authority to sign on to the network, authority to get to the internet, and you can still be behind our security layers, but actually have a separate email.
And then, what would the cross charges be for that? I mean, I assume this doesn't come free.
You know, the cross charges, I am working closely with the CFO and his team and my team, Kathleen Green, my fiscal person, to really do analysis what is our cross charges. And how do we accurately represent what is the cost of IT, of information technology? So I can't answer that right now, but you know, we are looking at, when I make the proposal to my peers in the county executive and leadership team to say, here's my recommendation on where we should go,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna include a total cost of operation estimate based on what we spend today, what the current charge is gonna be in the future, and what is the cost. I will have a better idea at that time. And after going through, this is my first budget, actually second budget process, but the first time I'm really going through it and understanding what services we deliver, what is, and trying to get to a cost of operation, I'll have better knowledge and information then.
Great.
But I can tell you the cross charges is a word that I hear from even my peers that says, what are they? How much are they? Why are they so expensive? What do you do with them? So that's a question that I have to answer, not just to council, but it's to all departments. And we're trying to work to clarify. More importantly, the CFO and I are looking at is what is the right way to fund central IT things, like the internet connection, because we know we're all using it. And I don't know that Councilman Bell uses 5% and I'm using 10%. Do I bill you only 5 of it? So it's very complicated. So what we really need to do is figure out what is the right way to account for access to the core services so we can have a good understanding of cost and who's using it.
Great, thank you.
Councilman Warren.
I asked CFO, is there anything you'd like to add on that the cross charges, how we're looking at them?
CFO Brian Maxwell. No, I think you covered it. The cross charges are something that has come up quite frequently in our budget discussions as far as everybody understanding them, why they continue to increase, or why am I getting charged for X, Y, and Z. So there's an educational process that's going on right now, and I think Mike and his team are doing a great job of figuring out what everything we're paying for and figuring out ways we can do it more efficiently.
Thanks.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mike, this is a challenge that council collectively has looked at for over 20 years. And it's starkly different this time around in that there's a higher level of cooperation on the part of the department that you now chair. So I just want to say I appreciate it, and I'm sure other council members do as well. I'm concerned about a cost-benefit analysis. I mean, that's what we're all doing right now. Yes, we're a separate equal branch of government, and we want to have the security. When we looked at this before, we became concerned because there were always unintended consequences of going to our own email system, let alone separating the branches completely, because there's a duplication of administrative services. And as we learn the new expertise that you bring to county government, we begin to realize that to have your level and your department's level of expertise would be an investment and then a monitoring on the part of our legislative branch of government. So I say that only in introduction to the same questions that we asked before. How secure would this be? How much would it cost us? And that's going prospectively forward. Then going backwards, there's already the data existing in our shared executive legislative stores. Would there be a redundancy of backup as between external hard drives as well as in the cloud? I would hope so.
So I do have an estimate on cost, and I would prefer not to do it publicly because I'm using those numbers to leverage the two vendors and make them competitive and be ultra competitive. And I will gladly share that in any conversation. So there is a known cost for cloud services. What you have to remember, and what we as the county have to remember, it's a subscription. So it is paying for it as an operational cost. It has to be built into our operational budget. You know, and it means that we have to budget for it each year because it is a fixed number that we are obligated to pay, because that's where our data lives. Now, I can tell you that in conversations with, you know, the vendors and also an outside party called Gartner, who's a research in the technology world that we use as our research group. They don't represent, they don't sell, they are just analysis and data. You know, security is better done by these vendors than we can do at the county level. We don't have the staff, the team, the resources, the amount of money. Their job is to be more secure than we can. The confidence in the cloud over the last several years has continued to increase because they see they're in it for the future. They're in it for the long term, and they create areas called government clouds that are specifically for government, state and local government, and they're held to a little different standard. They are redundant. More importantly, they keep the data within the continental United States. We're working with law to develop a set of terms and conditions. As we engage future cloud providers, there will be a series of terms and conditions that holds the vendor accountable for the data staying within the United States. We, the county, still owns the data. They have to be, it has to be, you know, secure in transit, secure at rest. If they should have a breach, they have the rules to follow to comply with Delaware Code. You know, there's a lot, there's several terms and conditions, and our terms and conditions will be modeled after the state, who has, we're been using them now for about six to seven years, and I was a part of that team that helped develop them, and they've gone through some iterations. So I am confident that the vendors that we would choose, Microsoft or Google, can clearly do it better than we could do ourselves in maintaining that cloud level security of our data and our email. Now remember, the weakest link in security is the user. You know, how you access it, where you access it, who you share it with, your credentials, you are and we are the weakest link. And where our data is, smartphone, tablet, laptop, you know, the cloud could be secure, but the if the door's left open,
right. That's a problem. Follow-up questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my frame of reference is the national law firm I worked for. We could log in to the system remotely from our home, but we would go through Linksys. There are other systems as mm-hmm. well. But because of the external threat of who knows who's in the room, and it and a lot of times the employees are the ones we need to work for. There's internal threats as well as external threats. There were certain levels of security that we couldn't get to unless we were in the office, and understandably so. So there's a trade-off, and I imagine with the county, there would have to be the same sort of trade-off.
There is, and that was the question of about systems like ParcelView and HR systems. They would still be accessed like they are today on network or with our secure remote connection that we have today. That could still exist. They could coexist. The difference is with an email in the cloud, you're just going right to their website. It presents you a screen, you sign on. That's the way it works.
Right. So as far as accessing private, of course I have to use the word quotes around private, or personal, strike private, accessing personal emails. There's an external threat, there's also an internal threat, and guarding the internal is a whole other set of parameters. When we looked at this before, we kept finding, well, although the systems would be separated, there was still an internal threat. And then you'd have to pay, you know, 5x to completely, not only, you know, maintain it annually, but to continue to monitor it, to be protected against both external and internal threats to the protection of personal emails.
So when you subscribe to a Microsoft or Google, you can add security features to your email subscription service that includes protections that helps reduce spam on unwanted email. It can send secure email, which means encrypted email. You can have things that actually allow you to set further controls for what you can or can't email, called data loss prevention, like social security numbers or credit cards. It can recognize that and it won't permit you to send it. If an employee is sitting at their desk and they go to Yahoo or Google Mail directly, the personal side, it still has to pass through our filters and our security layers. And yes, we still have to maintain those layers of protection because that's the internet connection. So that data connection to the internet, and all those layers of security I referenced in our executive briefing still would have to remain because the traffic still has to be filtered and screen for threats, risks, and vulnerabilities to try to reduce and further protect. You know, that's why when people say, well, I'm just checking my email, my personal email, it doesn't go through my email filters that I have today, so it doesn't have all the controls, the data loss prevention. So that's why I have to put those other layers in at our central systems to make sure that we're filtering.
Okay. My final question is, suppose there was a person or persons who were inappropriately acting to try to within the security system of the county. If you know, let's say the county exec with a future person who holds your position, suppose they wanted to read someone's email. Would they be able to?
It's difficult to be a man. You'd have to be a man. If it's going through the security and you set up the configuration and it's encrypted in transit and the rest because you're using a security email, it's difficult to insert yourself. I can't trap that data packet. Now, will your data flow through our network? The answer is yes. but if you choose to use the secure style email configurations, I can't intercept that security code to decipher the email packet. You know, the term is called man in the middle, which means I have to be directly in between your PC and where you're going and capture every data packet. But if it's encrypted, I can't get to it. You know, that's the part of the security layer, and that's when you talk to the cloud providers, you say, is your email secure? It's secure. Microsoft will tell you it's secure in transit. You know, you go to a website, and you've all seen that little S and the little lock, HTTPS, which stands for Hypertext Transport Protocol Secure, and you get that little lock in the bottom, right? That's telling you that your data is securely encrypted, and you really just can't grab it and read it.
Until you get one of these emails from what looks like a friend, yeah. And they send you...
And they put the malware on your computer?
Yeah, and so we all need training and sensitivity to that.
Well, and that goes back to, we could provide layers of security to scan your PC that can monitor your computer and can try to lay you all those security layers, but you can still manage your own emails.
Councilman Cartier and then Councilman Bell.
I'm going to talk a little bit about archived data that we've had and we use on our servers. If we go to a cloud-based system, will we retain the old archived data, or will we migrate that to the cloud?
So we will migrate. When we move to the cloud, we'll move all data to the cloud. So yes, you can move all your existing data files, whether it's records, photos, meetings, recordings, all that can be transferred up. Mm-hmm. Now your email, you could choose to move it all up or just move a few years up. Mm-hmm. Newcastle County, we are working, we need to come up with a policy that says how long we are keeping our emails. Most governmental organizations set a standard and say, we only archive email for X number of years. Right, and that policy does not exist today, and I am working with law to come up with a e-records policy that sets guidelines around how long Newcastle County will retain email, how long Newcastle County will keep internet records, because there's only so much you can store, and it becomes how far back do you go. So can you transfer everything you have today? The answer is yes. Can you keep everything you have today in the future? The answer is yes. Because when you move to the cloud, storage is infinite. Right. They'll give you unlimited storage areas. We just have limitations within our infrastructure and our servers today. I only have so much stuff, and based on our growth rate, we have to make a move. And this was the other question I failed to answer, is when. You know, the when is I would like to make a decision in the first quarter of 2018. Make a decision on which direction we're going. By that time, the network upgrades will be in an area that can support it, and I like to see us, I'm recommending the migration begin July 1 in 2018 and be completed countywide within a year to make sure everything is moved. Our most complex area, it will be the backup storage for the email. That is the most complex transition point. Because all those emails get compressed, as you know. You click on the link today and it puts it back in your mailbox. They all have to be moved. That is the most complex part. But yes, you can take what you have and you can keep it forever online at the cloud.
And just one final question to you. Is it true with the major players like Google and Microsoft, they're all getting into their own government-based, cloud-based systems? Isn't this a trend?
It is very much a trend, and you know, this is the normal. And matter of fact, Microsoft is changing their entire licensing model to force all their users to the cloud licensing, because they have better control of who's using it. It's consumption based, and now they don't have to come up and do these little audits to verify how many licenses you're using. So now they know because you're signing in. So yes, there are government clouds. It is the future. And I can tell you from my initial numbers of the total cost of operation, it is cheaper for us to have it there, because it provides us more or better disaster recovery than we have today, because it will be in multiple locations at a different provider.
Thank you.
Councilman Bell, and then I'd like to move forward with Councilman, if Council doesn't mind, because I know we're going to be hearing all this again from Mr. Hornicky when we're closer to making a move. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Michael, from the state standpoint, two separate systems, from the state legislature and the administration, or is it one state government system?
The Department of Technology Information is the central technology department for the state of Delaware. They run the email system for all branches of government. They run the legislative, they do the judicial, and they also do the executive, including some higher education. And it's worked well for years, and they have managed it through a formal e-records policy that really governs how archives are reviewed and how information is controlled. And I'm being honest, I'm mirroring the policy based on the good best practices of other governmental, state of Delaware and other governmental organizations. So that's the records policy. So it's worked well at the state. And there's never been a question of, is anyone doing anything inappropriate? Because in technology, there's log files and there's audits that can be done. So the systems have gotten smarter. You know, and we have to be more accountable because you just can't hide who got there or who used something. So it's worked well at the state.
And follow-up question to that would be that works in the state and you're talking best practices. Isn't it really a matter of best practices, policies, procedures as to who has access to what, who can review what, and how you track that from a security standpoint, that if somebody's breached that security that you could show it? Because I think one of the questions that's always come up is who has the authority to do what?
Correct.
In a system. So is the state above us? And I'm not saying above us, but do they have their practice?
Mm-hmm. They do.
Their policies, their procedures, their confidentiality, do they have that in place better than what Newcastle County does at this point?
The answer is yes. They have clearly defined separation of powers. You know, the person, if I were the state administrator as Mike Hornicky, I'd have a separate user as Mike Hornicky, the state worker, versus Mike Hornicky, the administrator, because you can't, there is separation. So when when I'm his administrator, you know when I'm actually the user. And they have close controls on who has the enterprise, which is the master password. That is restricted and closely controlled so that you know which cook is in the kitchen. And if you went into the kitchen, we know who went in, what you do, and when you left. You know, and that is clearly logged and documented.
And do we know today, based upon past practice here in the county, what cooks in the kitchen?
I can't talk about the past, but I can tell you under my leadership and my team, I know who has the right authority, and if there's a need for a records request or review, there are only two people I turn to for that information. You know, and when we do put the e-records request policy in place, it'll be required the authority of the general manager or the highest official for that organization to say, I want to see this user's information, and the leader has to sign off, and it goes to this person and their backup to extract the data. And the one thing about Delaware at the Department of Technology, the Information Technology Department doesn't review the data. They just extract it and deliver it. You know, they may have to redact it if there's some rules around redaction, but they don't interpret, they don't do analysis, they answer requests as requested and hand over the data. And it's up to the requester to do the analysis. But it's clearly documented, there's a paper trail, and there's log files. If it ever came in question, you can see who, what, where owned it, and where it went.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilwoman Dower, you want a closing comment on this topic?
I think that this has been really helpful. I'm sure you will hear more from us, and we're looking forward to hearing more from you.
Very good. I'd be happy to answer anytime, any questions, feel free.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Next we have a travel request for the county auditor's office. At the end of FY17, software package was purchased, and as part of that package was training was to be provided free of charge for two personnel. However, it wasn't at that time. It has since been scheduled, and the two would be Lynn McIntosh and Rinku Bengeri. And the bottom line is, we did schedule this as required for committee. Some of the committees were canceled.
Therefore, we had a discussion at the boards and commissions meeting as required. However, we didn't have a quorum and could not vote the travel request. So the motion is to approve the travel request for the auditor's office in the amount of $714. One of these young ladies will be in Alexandria, Virginia. One of them has friends down there, so they'll be staying with the friend. The other one will be staying at a hotel. So we have a motion for $714.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Are there any questions on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting. Thank you very much. Okay, next we have the grant requests. The first one is Middletown High School Band Boosters, Councilman Powers. And the chair will recognize Ms. Ruby.
We don't want to say they have Captain Powers, too old to be in this predicament. this is Middletown High School Marching Band has been asked again to go to London to march in the before the Queen New Year's Day. And Councilman Powers and Councilman Mabel have always been supportive of this, and they would like to get this grant again. And we're asking for help with Councilman Mabel.
Councilman Mabel.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And we have always supported this particular program and project with Councilman Powers, so we'll provide half of it.
So it's $1,250 from Councilman Powers and $1,250 from Councilman Bell. So I will make the motion. The motion is for Middletown High School Band Boosters in the amount of $2,500, $1,250 from Councilman Powers grant account and $1,250 for Councilman Bell's grant account. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? I'm not voting. Mm-hmm. Next, we have Delaware Chapter of National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives Noble, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a grant that we have done as council as a whole, even though I sponsor the grant. In the past, we've provided $2,500 for the last 3 years. $1,500 the first year, and basically the bottom line to this is that the Delaware Chapter of Noble takes the $2,500 towards the purchase of non-perishable food items, turkeys, hams, chicken roasters, to complete food baskets for needy families across Newcastle County. When I say all across Newcastle County, they go to great efforts to ask everyone on council, if you know of any family that is having difficulties around Thanksgiving or Christmas time that needs some assistance, they work with all the districts, and they have also helped with some toys and clothing and things of that nature, and they personally go out and deliver the baskets to the families and everything, and I know that they sincerely appreciate it, but I've had some folks in my own district that have, you know, appreciated it through the years. So last year, I actually ended up only having to do 300. Councilwoman Kilpatrick did 500. Councilman Cartier did 500. Councilwoman Dillard did 200. Councilman Woods did 500. Councilman Hollins did 200. Councilman Street did 300. So I asked for any contributions from others. I'm willing to start it out at $500 if I can. Do you need this?
No. No. Does this mean if they want to offer more, I got to tell them no?
No. I think that's how I ended up at 300.
Councilman Kilpatrick.
I'll do five again.
I started at five, and by the end of it, I was able to.
Councilman Scholar, I'll do 200. And just go around.
Okay, I'll repeat it.
I am.
We're going 200. Councilman Cartier.
500.
Ms. Dillmore.
$250.
How much? 250.
250.
George.
Chair, Councilman Woods will get 250 this year.
Okay, bye.
2,000.
Okay, we're at 2,200 right now.
250.
You want to make it 3 and that'll fill it out?
That, yep, make it 3.
Okay. You're now at 5. You're now at 25. Well,
I'll give 250, so some of the members who gave 500 could reduce their.
You want to go down to 4?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. We'll split
the
difference.
We'll do 4 and 4.
Okay, Councilman Bell is at 4. Councilman Bell is at 4.
No deposit, no return.
Councilman McCosker is at 4.
I'll tell you what, I'll do 250, and that'll bring Councilman Cartier down to 250.
Okay.
What's Holland's at?
Hold tight. Here's where we are. Here's where we are. Councilman Bell is at 400. Councilwoman Kilpatrick is at 400. Councilman Sheldon is at 200.
I'll go to 250 to George, and I'll take 50 off of Karen's.
What?
Well, I haven't gotten her yet.
Deep breath,
everybody. Let's go through it. Councilman Bell has 400. Councilwoman Kilpatrick has 400. Councilman Sheldon is at 250. Councilman Cartier is at 250. Councilman Powers is at 250. Councilman Woods is at 250. Councilwoman Diller is at 250.
Did you count mine in there?
No, I'm looking
on the total. So what do we have?
500,000. Where's our CFO?
Pardon?
Whip out that calculator.
Woods
is at 250.
Yeah.
1,800.
2,050. Oh, jeez, help me. 800.
$250.50 is 5.
There's 1,000.
1,800.
2,050. 2,050. So we're 450 short right now. Councilman Hollins for 225.
250.
Well. Okay.
Okay,
225. 225 is 25.
Okay. Okay. Right. Dave just walked in.
Dave just walked in. 225 and 225.
And Dave was doing 500.
Yeah, I'll put the dollar in.
So we have now have Hollins at 225 and Hartley Nagel at 225.
We're doing Noble.
For the turkeys and chickens. And everyone's district hams, everyone's district. They ask all of us if we have anybody in our district.
Okay.
We should attend.
Quick run through. Last time. Councilman Bell, 400. Councilwoman Kilpatrick, 400. Councilman Sheldon, 250. Councilman Cartier, 250. Councilman Powers, 250. Councilman Woods, 250. Councilwoman Diller, 250. Councilman Hollins and President Nagel, both $225.
Why can't we be 250?
Because it's over.
Because you would have went over 2,500.
No, but you can reduce Councilman Bell and Councilwoman.
Well, okay, Bill and I can go down to 375.
Yeah.
And you can go each go up to 250.
Wait, just tag it, Link.
Unless I do 200.
$200, Bill and I are going down. We'll be down at 275.
This is it. If you want to make any other difference, have Councilman Tackett transfer money to your account.
Whoa!
Here's where we are. Councilman Bell, 375. Councilwoman Kilpatrick, 375. Sheldon, 250. Cartier, 250. Powers, 250. Woods, 250. Diller, 250. Hollins, 250. Nagel, 250. Case closed. That's a very noble effort.
Can we filibuster on this one?
And now I have to amend your motion. Is it okay if I make your motion?
Yes,
so
sir.
I can amend it and get it on the record.
Very kind.
The motion is to approve $2,500 to the Delaware Chapter of National Association of National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, subject to the submission of the final piece of information needed for their application. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting, but we need a short recess so I can go get a Tylenol out of my office. And Councilman Tackett has been here in order to observe the confusion.
And I didn't.
And I knew there would be no. I knew there would be no problem with him spouting off a dollar amount, so we're fine. Okay, next, Blacks in Government, Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a reorganization of an organization that was here in Delaware, I guess, maybe 25, 30 years ago. Blacks in Government is a, I'm just going to read this from their description. Blacks in Government is a national 501c3 organization dedicated to promoting excellence in government service through equity of opportunity. There are over 200 chapters throughout the country. The Delaware chapter was chartered in August of 2016. The chapter supports programs and activities to support leadership development, community service, and personal development. They're asking council for $1,000. Councilman Street and I have agreed to split the $1,000, $500 apiece. There's going to be a conference coming up sometime in the next couple of months, and this is to help for the organizing of the conference and for all expenses related to that, to get this organization off the ground, to help get them off the ground. So I make a motion for $1,000. $500 is coming from me, and $500 is coming from Councilman Street.
We have a motion. We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting. Next, we have the Peter Spencer Family Life Foundation. It's actually for the division of it, for the Ujima After School Program for Councilman Street. I've been asked to move this. This is help for material supplies for the youth, and it's for the amount of $2,500 from Councilman Street's account. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Not voting. Okay. That takes care of the actual grants that we have before us. I have a couple of things to put before council. Okay, the first one is to go over and let you know we discussed previously the outstanding reports that were due. We had a very good discussion on that. I will tell you there were five out of Council President Bullock remaining. I'm now down to one. Looking for one report, and we did a follow-up mailing to the secondary address on that application last week. I will also say thank you, and thank you. I don't know what was said to the aides or whatever, but apparently the push went on, and we've had approximately 50 letters come in, reports, over the past week. Unfortunately, clerk of council and all has been busy with many other things, so you know there was just no way to get a follow-up report accurately done, but there will be one coming later. But that's been great. I did not put this in writing, but if anyone can look, I'm going to propose a grant application modification to be put into effect in December, which would trigger into the new year for us, and it's very minor, but I think it will help us, and that is the line that says, by submitting this application, successful applicants agree to complete a one-page report form, return it to the clerk of council within 60 days after Newcastle County Council approves the grant application. I want to put a line at the end of that, and then the notification, applicant initials required. That way we have a clear record that they know that they're due for a 60-day report. And if that application comes in without those initials, then the application doesn't move forward. We get back with them and tell them, you need to initial that. I understand how an application process, what you're looking at, that can be overlooked. But that's one more tool in our toolbox to require them to submit that piece of information so we remain on top of it. Does anybody see anything wrong with that?
No.
Okay. We'll be looking into that. Like I said, we'll look at that in December to get it out into the new year. Okay. Going out of the grant process, and I apologize, this has taken a little bit of time to have the discussions I needed to have. First, I want to follow up on something we spoke about earlier. I spoke with Chief Miller at the Public Safety 911 Call Center, and he advised me that because of the materials that they were able to purchase from the last grant this council gave for the educational part of bringing, and for those of you who don't know, it's an outreach to the community for people that are interested, and it brings them in, and it gives them a taste of it to see if they'd want to do it before you hire them, you bring them in, you find out they can't deal with it. Well, because of what was given to them before and the due diligence they did with the purchases, they actually have another class going on and were able to fund the rest of that out of their own budget. But next fiscal year will probably be different if we want to keep that program. Personally, I think it's a very worthwhile program. Also, not for a lot of discussion, if somebody thinks there's an issue with it, tell me. If council seems in agreement with my next two requests, then I'll move forward and have the necessary legislation drafted for council to discuss and vote. It will be introduced first meeting in November, have to be voted on the second, and that is, I would like council's, at least, cooperation, whatever, on behalf of council. This isn't me, it isn't the 70, but on behalf of council, I'm planning on bringing ordinances. One would, it's not a grant, because it's no special program, but to transfer $5,000 on behalf of council from the 7th District Office Grant account to the Code Enforcement Department of Newcastle County Land Use Department for purposes of code enforcement overtime costs. We've got violations at night, we've got violations on the weekend, their budget was cut. I know there's some in my district, probably some in everybody's district. So I want to transfer, and we'll do the ordinance, hopefully it'll pass, we'll move $5,000 for overtime costs for code enforcement. The second one is the approval to transfer $5,000 from the same account to the Police Division, Newcastle County Public Safety Department to be applied to the overtime costs to address the off-road vehicle violation situations that we have going on in Newcastle County. So both of them would be earmarked wherever, as we've done before, wherever the issue is, but these are two quality of life issues. We all get calls on it over and over, so put a little bit of money over there, put some extra people on the street. So if nobody sees anything totally out of line with it, I'll put the request in tonight to have the ordinances drafted. They'll be introduced first meeting in November. We'll be able to vote at the second, get the money to them, have it in time for the holidays, and maybe make some real nice Christmas arrests. Councilman Bell, Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, you deserve a lot of credit for looking at these things, and I think you're very, very committed to attempt to take funding from your own account to help with these situations. And I think I admire you for that. But at the end of the day, everyone on this council, everyone in this administration, current administration, should realize what's taking place and what's needed. And for $10,000, we can't do a budget amendment or move money from an account to help support overtime that's needed for quality of life issues. I mean, I read every day in a paper, I see all the different press releases and everything, and like I say, I don't think anyone could be more sincere in their commitment, but I think this responsibility falls upon the government as a whole. And you know, we're looking at $5,000 in land use, which is needed, which is quality of life. This administration, this council, has stood behind quality of life issues and from the public safety standpoint. So I can't hardly believe that we can't find $10,000 somewhere in the budget to move.
I appreciate that, Councilman Bell. And again, this isn't about me. This is with all of council. And the 7th District suffers just like everyone else. And my hope is our budgets are what they are. But quite honest, when I discussed with the departments, whether it helps or not, but my hope is that the results of this minimal amount of money will send the message for the next budget what we need earmarked in these departments. So, Council President Nagel.
Yeah, I'm with Councilman Bell on this. I think the intent would be good. I want to avoid the appearance that it could be a particular council person targeting any constituent in the county, and the reason is two calls I got this week, actually, about constituents that believe in their community that a council person isn't being responsive to them particularly. And I believe the argument could be made by a constituent that if it's the money is coming from an individual council person's account, that money that they could possibly be targeting them. I just want to avoid that.
Well, I'm going to be very clear. Number one, whether it's you or the constituent, I resent the accusation. I and other council members have done similar things to what I'm doing now. Never have they been earmarked to a specific district or a specific person. And above all, let me clear it up for you. It's not this council member's money. It belongs to the taxpayers, and it's being put back to the taxpayers. It's not for me. I'm not getting a cell phone. I'm not getting an iPad. I'm not getting gas in my car. I'm not getting carpeting. I'm not getting blinds. I'm putting it back into the district. Feel free to vote.
I need to address it. That was not an accusation to you, Mr. Smiley. In fact, it was quite the opposite.
Well, it's never happened. It's never happened. So if you have someone that thinks they're being targeted, but then it's because their council member isn't responding, I suggest you take that up behind closed doors, whatever witnesses anybody wants, with that council member. And again, unfortunately, I apologize, this is not going the direction I planned. Councilman Taggart.
Exactly, Councilman. And I just suggest bring it forward.
I'm bringing it.
Yep.
Councilman Hollins.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're doing. I just think that the ordinance shouldn't be necessary. I think that if you are going to actually take your grant funds and give it to a governmental purpose, then you should be able to grant it.
Well, because we're moving it from one line to another,
it's required by law
because we're taking it from one type of an account to another. We have to have the paper trail to transfer it. That's really all it's about.
So before, I thought that you had also granted something to public service.
Yeah, and we've done it under the grant process.
Right.
Where they submitted the grant application and all that, and I'm just not going through that way. I was just looking at transferring the money.
Okay. It just seems to me to be a lot of extra work to do what you're trying
to do. Well, it's no similar to when we do the summer youth employment program.
Yeah.
So it's the same way as that.
Okay.
Councilman Cartier.
I know that code enforcement could really use some overtime in order to address things that go on outside of normal business hours. And we got some people in the county that know how to subvert the process that way. And giving that tool out protects the quality of life in the neighborhood. So I'm very happy that we're going to, I'll be willing to support the overtime code, especially.
On the 28th, we'll be sure to set more time aside to debate, argue, whatever. Anything under the expense of revenue roundtable? Anything under other? Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Motion to adjourn. Next meeting begins 5 minutes ago.
we'll get 5 minutes and we'll come back.